God bless you guys. Welcome to the Urban Life Family Prayer Room. It's Pastor Chris and my wife, Pastor Carol, and we're glad to be back with you guys once again to share with you guys whatever it is that the Lord wants us to deliver that we're always trusting will be effective for you and your life. We're in a very critical time in America, and God's got us focusing on family. And I want to take the time as we're getting started today to share with you guys a very important word that came to the church here in Pennsylvania. When I say church, I don't just mean Urban Life. I mean the church,
the body of Christ
in this area. There's a particular judge by the name of Cheryl Allen who's running for Supreme Court. God so profoundly dealt with her that she got up to share this word in one of the really large churches here in this city. And the word was so profound that it was very difficult for her to share it. Here in this area, in this part of the country, is very, very conservative, I can say that. Mm-hmm. And many times, I'm not saying this to target the particular church family that she was talking to, but here in this community, people really, really struggle with words like this because it can sound like it's very negative, it's doom and gloom.
Defeated.
It sounds like you're speaking defeat, but it's not that at all. This is a warning, a very, very serious warning. Okay. This past week, I've been involved in two prayer groups. One was a statewide prayer that I was involved in, and then another was a national prayer that I was involved in. And in both of these times of meeting with intercessors from all over the state and then intercessors all over the country by way of a phone conference, it is very apparent that we are in a very, very serious time here in America. And I want to share this very important clip with you as Cheryl Allen talks to the church here in Pennsylvania, but we believe the church all over America, giving us a very severe warning of why the church must take a stand in this hour and in this season. So just check this out.
Good morning, everyone. I just have to stand here and tell you the truth. I never intended to be in this position running for the Supreme Court. I had no intentions. You know, I thought that I could just kick back and enjoy life, take it easy, coast to retirement, you know, maybe go down south and lay on the beach. But how many people know that there is no retirement in the kingdom of God? And so I came into this race, and I guess for the beginning part of it, I had this lethargy or this malaise, like, you know, every other day, why am I doing this? And yesterday morning, I woke up and I just had this burning in my spirit because what I have seen in this nation. You see, we are at a crossroads in this nation. There is a great divide. And the divide has nothing whatsoever to do with Republican and Democrat. It has nothing to do with black and white. It has nothing to do with rich or poor. It has everything to do with right and wrong. You see, it's about truth versus deception. It's about Christ versus Antichrist. And if the church, and this is the word that came to me yesterday morning, so I have to say it. If the church does not rise up and take a stand, then the church will be brought down. And you see, the enemy does not care who he uses to do it, because the agenda is to advance his cause. And the agenda is to destroy the church. That's the agenda. And it's not the legislature so much in the state of Pennsylvania. It's the judges. You see, it's the judges who, with the stroke of a pen, have stood and wiped out everything that you fought for and stood for. And that's what this is all about. I sat on Wednesday night and listened to people talk about how we need hate crime legislation. I thought about how our founding fathers drafted our Constitution after much prayer. I thought about the early settlers of this country coming to this nation for religious freedom. And yet here we are today on the brink of having our Constitution dismantled and our religious freedom wiped away, to the point where, if we're not careful, there will be no more Life Center. And that may sound harsh, but it's the truth. You will not be able to stand in your pulpits and call wrong wrong. The agenda is to destroy. And the last thing we need in this season is a lukewarm church. Because Jesus made it very clear as to how he felt about lukewarm churches. It is time for the church to rise. It is time for the church to be salt and light. You see, I had to get to the point where it's not about me. You know, I have far more years behind me than I have in front of me. And in whatever time the Lord gives me, I have resolved that I will stand and speak the truth. And the truth is, it's time for the people of God to stand up. And it is no accident that the Lord gave that word to the young woman in the pretty purple dress. I admired the dress. Because, see, we have too many dry bones. And the Spirit of the Lord is saying that it's time. Get involved. Do not leave this to the forces of evil. You know, they have all the money and they have all the special interest group backing, but they don't know the Lord. Judges have tremendous power, and power unleashed into the hands of people who don't stand on truth and don't know the Lord is dangerous. And that is what we are facing in this nation. That is what we are facing. And so, church, rise up, be salt and light. Thank you, and God bless you.
Now you see how serious it is. Before you, just to share what God has put on our heart, in part of the prayer conference that I was in, it was disclosed by a person who works behind the scenes that hundreds of millions of dollars have been released to hundreds of organizations all across the United States with the specific goals of that Christians would have no voice, that the next generation will have no knowledge of God, that Christianity will no longer be practiced either in public or personal, privately. That's how serious this is. So no longer being able to say, well, even if I don't do things publicly, I can just still do it behind closed doors in my house. No, that's the reason why policemen are practicing busting in on people's homes right now. That's what's going on in America right now. And that everybody is depending. All the senators who are believers, congressmen, politicians, policemen, teachers, everybody that's a believer in these public arenas are all saying the same thing. And it is, if y'all don't stand up in the church and do something, what do you mean by stand up? You need to seize control in your own house. You need to get your kids in church. You need to get in church. You need to be praying. You need to get a hold of your family.
If my people.
If my people. That's it. It ain't about just coming to church and having a comfortable place anymore. If you don't get to doing this in your everyday life, this whole thing is coming down. That's where we are. So they're calling for people. For us pastors, that's why we're doing this webcast. This is just the first of many steps for us. We're going to tell the truth. And we're not preaching to the world. I ain't talking to the world. When we do these webcasts each week, we're talking to y'all, the church. Those of you who say you believe God and you love God and you all for God, but you live in a double life. The only time you're godly and spiritual is when you walk inside the four walls of a church building. No more of that. Those of you that are cussing all over the place and living any kind of way you want at work and all of that. No, all of that must stop. Otherwise, all of this is in jeopardy. That's what this is about. Come on, dear. Just share the things that God has in your heart.
And so after looking at that, at the video, Judge Cheryl Allen, it's easy to start looking again at the people that are behind the scenes who are backing these initiatives, who have put millions of dollars into to try and completely wipe out Christianity. These people who don't believe that there is a God. We still need to focus on who is the real enemy. And that's what I want to share. An excerpt in our Fight for Your Family book. The chapter is called The Real Enemies. Way back in 1994, Pastor Chris wrote a song called What If? And our youth ministry's rap evangelistic group took the tune and added a rap within the chorus. In that rap, a brilliant young artist asked the question, who's the real enemy? She challenged many of the negative issues in the urban community, but she kept taking her listeners back to the question, who's the real enemy? Now, years later, we find ourselves still asking the same question. We're in a city that's 800 miles from where we started, but God is moving in a powerful way as He leads us in the fight for our families. This week, we want to answer that question and identify a few of the enemies of our families. Nehemiah 4, 4th chapter, 7th through 8th verse reads, "Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion." Does that sound familiar? They're conspiring to come together to attack. Let's take a closer look at these guys. Sanballat was a Moabite. The Moabites were descendants of Lot. He had sex with one of his daughters, and the child that was born was named Moab. Thus began the Moabite people. The Moabites worshipped Chemosh. This god was honored with cruel and perverse practices like child sacrifices, burning babies alive, and heterosexual and homosexual and bisexual orgies. Sanballat represents the acceptance of heterosexual perversion and homosexuality. He represents the willingness to sacrifice our children for wealth and personal success. He represents those family secrets like molestation, incest, rape, and abortion. These are major evil spiritual forces that are opposing your efforts to rebuild your family. Tobiah was an Ammonite. They were descendants of Lot also. Ben-Ami was the child born to Lot after he had sex with his younger daughter. The resulting people group, the Ammonites, opposed the Israelites when they attempted to pass through their land in the Exodus. They had a history of making unreasonable demands in order to allow passage or when attacking others around them. They were bullies. Tobiah and the Ammonites represent those people and influences that seek to hinder your family from achieving goals and fulfilling purpose. They are constantly harassing and bullying anyone who is trying to do the right thing or live a godly life. And I'm sure you can, as you're listening to this, you can think about people who have done that, who have been harassing and blocking your efforts to live a godly life, who discourage you. This is especially true when we observe this type of spiritual opposition to your efforts to rebuild your family. The Arabs are the descendants of Ishmael, who was the son of Abraham from his wife's handmaiden Hagar. Jews are descendants of Abraham's son, Isaac, from his wife, Sarah. Therefore, Arabs and Jews both came from Abraham. Most Arabs believe that it was Ishmael who has the birthright as Abraham's firstborn. Jews and Christians hold to the understanding that Isaac has the birthright because he was the promised seed that came through Abraham's wife. In the context of this exhortation today, the Arabs represent the spiritual forces that contest your birthrights. They contest and fight against your rights to raise your children, your rights to protect your family, your rights to freedom of expression, and your rights to freedom of religious practice. The last group we'll talk about is the Ashdodites. They were Philistines, and their name referred to the city in which they resided. The city's name means, "I will spoil." The spoiler is that person who knows they can't defeat you, but they will do everything they can to cause as much hurt, harm, and damage as they can anyway. In sports, there are teams who have lost so many games that they no longer qualify for the playoffs or any championship bid. They take on the role as spoiler to knock out other teams and put them in the same position. Ashdodites represent the people who allow this evil spirit to work through them. They live in defeat. They aren't going anywhere and aren't going to do anything with their lives. Yet they become envious and do all they can to prevent others from accomplishing their goals and dreams. That's the attitude and motivation of Satan and demonic powers. They blew their chance with God, and now they work to spoil your life and your family. They know how things will end when all is said and done. However, they want to drag down as many people as they can. As you can see, these are some formidable forces that are opposing us as we seek to fight for our families. Just remember that the individuals or groups who are conspiring against you are not your real enemies. These people who are backing the organizations to wipe out Christianity, they're not the real enemy. They are merely tools being used by Satan and demonic powers. They have been so influenced by these evil spirits that they are convinced that they are right and you are wrong. Now you can see how you and your family are being attacked. These are the spiritual forces that are at work against us. Please understand that the moment you decide to rebuild, restore, and renew your family, these attacks were launched against you to create confusion and discouragement. But here is our response. Nehemiah 4th chapter 9th verse says, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set our watch against them day and night. We're not going to launch political protests and campaigns. We are not advocating bashing anyone who is gay. We're not approving the bombing of abortion clinics or the shooting of abortionists. We are not going to organize a protest at City Hall, the state capitol, or at a school district building. We're just going to set a prayer watch against the enemy day and night. Will you join us as we pray? Several leaders in our city have sought to rally the whole city behind various causes and agendas. We have received invitations from various groups, some of who are very outspoken against one another. That leaves us trying to pick and choose which meetings, rallies, and revivals we should connect with in order to restore the city. We learned a valuable lesson back in our years in St. Louis. Our pastor and church were in a very similar position in our early years of growth. In larger cities, there are hundreds of agendas and efforts being made to revive it. So our pastor was getting invitations from all over the city and even several from around the country with all the rallies to revive America. Our pastor came to a place where he just stopped trying to respond to the invitations, and he even stopped trying to rally the whole city to come to his gatherings. Instead, he just began to focus on us, the church family. When he invited out-of-town guests, he didn't announce it to the city, and some of the guests were high profile. The guests were brought to our city to minister to us and only us. For a long season, our pastor stopped attending the major national church conferences and poured everything into his own church family. The result was a ministry that exploded and became a powerful force in our city. That's how the Lord is leading us today. God didn't tell us to come to Harrisburg and try to win, rally, or revive the city. God sent us to Harrisburg and told us to bring families together. That doesn't mean all families will come to Urban Life. It just means God has given us a mandate to call families together. God sent us to Harrisburg to share our lives and the word with you. Our calling is not to reach all of Harrisburg. Our calling is to minister to you. We're just trying to do all that we can to help you and your household. We're in this battle together. Let's keep pressing forward. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray.
Yes, Lord.
You said in 2 Chronicles, yes, Lord, that if my people would humble themselves and pray and seek your face,
yes,
and turn from our wicked ways, then you would hear from heaven. So, Lord, we humble ourselves before you. Lord, forgive us where we have missed the mark. where we have forgotten why you have called us, why you touched us. Lord, you touched us for specific reasons, and it wasn't just to seek comfort. Or like Judge Cheryl Allen said, it's not just to coast until we retire and so that we can go and lay out on a beach, Lord, or whatever our personal dreams have been. But Lord, you have called us to reach the lost. And so Lord, Lord, forgive us. We repent and we turn back to the beginning. We repent and we turn back to square one, and that is to win the lost. Lord, to win the first, we begin in Jerusalem. We begin in our own families, Lord. We begin with ourselves, Lord. We repent of the ways where we have missed you and we have sought only comfort. Lord, where we have backslidden, Lord. We have fallen into iniquitous patterns. Lord, forgive us. We turn to you. Lord, we win our own families. We win our children. We win our brothers, our sisters, our aunts, our uncles, our grandparents, our co-workers. Lord, wherever we go, we will win the lost. In the name of Jesus, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, as your church to repent of our wicked ways, Lord. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would help us to fulfill the Great Commission, to remember that that's why you touched us. That's why you saved us. That's why you redeemed us. That's why you saved us. That's why you healed us. That's why you provide for us. That's why. Oh my God. That's why we're here. And you have different ways, of course, Lord. You have different strategies. You put us in different areas. You put us in different mediums. Lord, help us to stand up and to be salt and light, as Judge Cheryl Allen begged, commissioned, pleaded with the body of Christ. Lord, I pray, stir up the body of Christ. Lord, with what's coming, Lord, we've heard the different reports where people have not been able to sleep. Lord, I pray that you would help to get this word out so that people would know why they have not been able to sleep, so they would know how to pray. Lord, help the body of Christ in America to be salt and light. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We have been so ineffectual, and money cometh, and Lord, searching for it, wanting cars and planes and homes. And Lord, you said it, as we seek first the kingdom of God, all of what we need will be added to us. We don't even need to search for these things, but Lord, help us to seek first the kingdom of God. First. We pray in Jesus' name. Lord, help this word to get out from coast to coast and to every house where the body of Christ resides that you have established. Lord, let this word get out. Help us to fall on our repent, to fall on our knees, and to do kingdom business. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, we need you. We can't do this without you. Help us. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us to do your will, to fulfill your will, to fulfill our purpose, to fulfill our purpose, so that your purpose for America will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we close out this webcast, I want to share this with you guys, both in the room as well as across our city, across the country, even in different parts of the world where sometimes people are logging in. God is so sovereignly speaking to America that even the country of Australia yes. has called for 7 days of prayer and fasting yes. for America. Yes. Something is coming, y'all.
Yes.
And those of you who know us have known that throughout the years when I have stood before our church family or spoken online like I am now about sensing something coming, it has happened every single time. I'm not saying this as if though I'm some special prophet, you know, because nowadays whenever you say things like this, immediately it's followed by send me an offering. I don't want your money. Don't send no money. I'm talking about a warning. You need to be getting your household together. Yes. You need to be getting yourself together yes. and your household
yes.
ready
yes.
because something is getting ready to come to this country that is so devastating
yes.
that it will make Katrina and 9/11 seem like nothing.
Pale by comparison.
You need to get your household ready. Get your family ready. God is speaking to people, even right here in the Urban Life Church family. We got a couple that's going home because God is speaking to them about reaching their family. And he's going to speak to many of you like that. You need to pick up. Some of you are going to need to cross country, move, and go get to your family. If you don't make a permanent move, you're going to need to take your vacation time and go minister to your family. You got one chance left. You got one last time. I didn't plan to say this. I just stood up and I'm saying what God has given me to
yes,
say.
Yes.
You got one last chance to get to your family. And you need to take vacation time. You need to take weekend. You need to do whatever you need to do and get to your family. Call for a family prayer. Some of you got family reunions planned for this year. You need to take some time during that family reunion in the midst of all the playing and fun and games. You need to stop somewhere in that family reunion and call for a family prayer. There's got to come some repentance. You need to lay hands on your children. You need to pray for them. We got predators all over the place snatching children left and right. Our kids are being taught an agenda and a curriculum
yes.
in the schools that will cause them to one day turn on you as their parents. I'm telling you, God is speaking to me right now to tell you your children are receiving words right now as kindergarten, first, second, and third grade that by the time they're in junior high and high school, they're going to turn you in and send you to jail for practicing Christianity
yes.
in the house.
Yes.
I'm telling you,
yes.
you need to get a hold of your family right now. You don't have until tomorrow.
No.
You need to do it now
yes.
and be very intentional. I'm trying to put some practical things in your hands. You hear things like the church needs to stand up. Well, stand up, as my wife just shared with you, doesn't mean getting into a rally, going marching and protesting. Stand up means every night that the Holy Spirit wakes you up, you need to start
yes.
praying.
Yes.
I can't tell you how many times God woke me up in the middle of the night and I would get up and the Lord said, go pray for your kids.
Yes.
And I would get up in the middle of the night. Didn't make any difference. 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about here in the room. You get up and you go and lay hands on your kids and you pray for them. You don't even know why. And you still don't know to this day why. It ain't important that you know why. Then it's important that you do it.
Yes.
I don't know how many accidents and incidents that our children avoided and missed
yes.
because my wife and I were obedient in the moment
yes.
to get up and pray for our children. You need to spend some time with your children.
Yes.
Wow, God, I didn't know I was going to get it. But this is part of helping you to defeat the real enemies.
Yes.
You need to spend time with your children. Turn off the PlayStation. Turn off the games. Turn off the phone games. You need to turn it off. I ain't saying I'm talking about your kids.
Right.
You need to get off the phone.
Yeah.
Get off your mobile phone and get out from get. Turn off Scandal.
Yeah.
Turn off Empire. Turn off everything that has become a distraction in your life. And you need to call for family prayer. But my kids going to think this is boring. They ain't going to want to go. Who's in control of the house? You or the kids?
Hello.
What do you mean your kids don't want to? Your kids ain't going to feel like it. You the parent. You're the one that's responsible. You call a family prayer. Hello. You call the family together. And not just every once in a while, at least once a week. Your children's ministry of your church is not responsible for your children.
Right.
You are.
You're the steward.
You are. Not the children's ministry. Not the children's pastor.
Right.
That's not who's responsible. You are. If your kids don't know anything about the life of Christ, that's on you. Not the children's ministry. You do it. And where you've been wrong, apologize to your kids. Some of you, you need to start your family meeting with, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I have not been doing this. I'm sorry that I have been neglected. I'm sorry for being a hypocrite in front of you. Of living one way at church and you've been watching me throughout the week and I ain't living nothing of what I act like at church. I'm sorry. This will change starting today. I'm talking about dealing with what the practical steps of the church standing up. I'm giving it to you right now. Yes. Apologize to your kids about being a hypocrite. And start living this thing for real. Stop being one way at church and another way at home. And when it comes to work, it's time for you to stop being the loudest one at the work, always quoting scripture on one hand and cussing on the other hand and just telling everybody, y'all just have to forgive me because I lose my religion every once in a while. Cut out that mess and stand up and be who God has called you to be. Your co-workers are going to need you in the days that are coming. They're going to need you to be the one to pray for them when they come to work and something horrible has happened in their lives. They're going to need you to pray. They're going to need you to have a word ready on your tongue, a word of encouragement, a word of exhortation for them. I can't even stand these people. Then that's part of the problem. God, give me a heart. You need to pray. God, give me a heart for my coworkers. I want to be willing. God, you put me there not just to draw a paycheck. You, it was an assignment from you. Do you know that some of the things that you going to church, marching and proclaiming, I am so sick of this mess where people got, these pastors got folks holding their hands out proclaiming, this is my season. This is my year of breakthrough. This is my time. Your time for what? Your time for what? When the folks on your job know that you are the biggest hypocrite in the world, when your own kids know you're the biggest hypocrite in the world, you think God's going to bless that? God's going to give you more money so you can be a bigger hypocrite? God's going to give you a better home so you can be a bigger hypocrite? Cut out all this foolishness. This is what we mean by stand up. First of all, humble yourself. Apologize to your family. Apologize to co-workers. Apologize to your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yes.
That I've been bringing a great reproach upon our church family. There are people that won't come to our church because of me. You need to be that honest about it. They won't come to our church because of me. The neighbors know how I act. My co-workers know how I act. My kids know how I act. And they won't come to this church because of me. They think our pastor is a hypocrite because I'm a hypocrite. They think all of y'all are hypocrites, my brothers and sisters, because I am. So I apologize. I've been bringing a great reproach to our church family because I don't live what I say. Now is the time. You don't have tomorrow. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed. You and I were just talking about that yesterday, wasn't we, Brother Sylvester? You don't have tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You need to repent today. Repent today. Thank you, Lord God. The reason why so many of the gay community got such a problem with us Christians, because you know what? It's because we're the biggest of the hypocrites. They know it and we know it. We don't have a right to say anything to them or anybody else. Folks who've had an abortion, we don't have a right to say nothing about the racist in this country. You don't have the right to say anything. If anybody black sits next to you at church, you squirming all over the place. Somebody white sits next to you at church, you can't even hear the service no more. How you going to talk about what happened with Michael Brown and all the other stuff going on in this country when we got all much racism sitting right there in the church? You can't hear the speaker if they're from another ethnic group. If your pastor has somebody black to speak, then you can't hear the message. If your pastor has somebody white to speak, you can't even get into it. And please don't let them be Latino or Asian. Oh my God. This is a whole wasted service today. I got to wait till next week so we can get back to having church. Father. Yeah, you didn't think Pastor Chris was going to go there. God didn't release me. He said, it's time. Yes. We've been waiting for 10 years. Now it's time. So the repentance starts right now. Humble yourself. Get your mouth off of what's happening with the government, the mayor, the superintendents at the school, all these crooked folks in politics, and everything wrong with our city. You ain't got a right to speak to it if you ain't living it. You don't have a right. Humble yourself. And haven't you discovered, people of God, that when you humble yourself before the Lord, you don't even concern about nobody else's hypocrisy. You don't even care about what all the other folks are doing that's wrong. Only thing on your mind is, Lord, I want to be right before you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And he changes your heart about the folks that are living wrong.
Yes.
He gives you a compassion for them, like, God, please get through them. Get through to them, Lord. Yes. They don't even irritate you like they used to. You find yourself feeling sorry for them, interceding for them. Why? Because what? I don't want nothing in my heart against God or against anybody else. Thank you, Lord. So I'm calling you. We're calling you today. Who's the real enemy? We see, when you do this, it exposes who the real enemy is.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, we humble ourselves. We repent. Repent means to change. About face. Remember that command in military? About face. That's what repent means. Turn around. Lord, I'm turning because I've been going my own way, doing my own thing, and claiming that it was you. Always thinking that if I say in the name of Jesus, if I attach in the name of Jesus to it, then God's going to do it. No, he won't. God don't bless mess. You have to remember that. God don't bless mess. So attaching in the name of Jesus doesn't change anything. It don't make nothing happen. This is not a magic phrase that we say to get what we want. When we say in the name of Jesus, we're talking about in the very nature of Jesus. In the spirit of Jesus, with the heart of Jesus, and with the compassion of Jesus, with the love of Jesus. That's what we mean when we say in the name of Jesus. In the holiness of Jesus. In the righteousness of Jesus. Yeah, all of that's in the name. Thank you, Lord. So right there where you are, wherever you are that you're watching this, you might be watching this on your mobile phone, might be sitting at your computer at home, your laptop. Some of you, they may be playing this DVD back in the prayer room, and you're sitting in the prayer room watching this. Just humble yourself right now. Humble yourself. Stop looking at anybody else, everybody else. Humble yourself. I don't know why God's telling me to put this emphasis like that. Humble yourself. Bow low yourself to God. Not Pastor Chris. To God. Humble yourself. humble yourself sounds like this: God, you're right, I'm wrong. It doesn't smooth it over by trying to throw up some praises to God. It doesn't make excuses and says, well, God, you know how I am. Well, God, you know how I was raised. That ain't humbling yourself. Humble yourself. God, I made the choice to live this way. I made the choice to see life this way. I made the choice to respond this way. I'm sorry. I repent. I change my mind. I turn to you. You are right. Come on, tell God. You are right. I am wrong. I turn to you because you are right. I humble myself. I turn from my wicked ways. You call it wicked, so I call it wicked. It's not okay. It's not okay every once in a while. It's not okay. It's wicked. I turn from my wicked ways. Yes, Lord, I turn to you. Yes, Lord. For those of you that maybe this is the first time in your life you've come into this moment, here's your next step. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I turn away from my wicked ways, my selfishness, my self-centered life. I open up my heart. Come in, Lord. Make yourself at home in my heart. I make a lifetime pledge to you. I'm not just saying this in the moment. I'm not just saying this in the emotions of the moment. Holy Spirit, I feel you on me. So come into me. Change me, Lord. I can't do it on my own. I can't do enough good to make up for all the bad. Come in, Lord, and change me. Holy Spirit, fill me with your presence. Fill me with your power. Give me the ability to pray, to talk to you in a whole new way, to communicate, to commune with you, God, at a level greater than even humanly possible. Open up your word to me. God, I've tried reading the Bible before, and it was boring. Or I only learned a few scriptures just so that I could be appealing at church. Some of you, that's where you're, especially those of you who have been in church all your life. I only learned a few scriptures just so I could quote them at church and look spiritual and deep. But God, open up your word to me. Give me a fresh, new understanding of your word. Let me see you as I read your word. I'm not reading it to impress anybody. I don't care about that anymore. I want to know your word for myself. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with us, no matter where you are, I want you to know that you are now a child of God. If you meant it, you belong to him. And the thing you need to do now is ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to a real, genuine group of believers that can help you in your walk, that can really help you. Some of you, you're going to need, I'm boldly saying, you need to leave the church where you've been attending. If all of what I just did and talked about is brand new and you ain't never heard this, you need to go someplace where they can help you grow. You don't need to continue in the madness. Albert Einstein is known for this phrase that if you keep doing the same thing you've always been doing and expecting different results, that's insanity. So you can't keep doing what you always been doing. You got to do something different. And I'm not telling you to come to Urban Life. Those of you who are in Harrisburg, you can come if you want to. But if we ain't the only ones in town. Wherever God is leading you, you need to go there. And you need to be committed there. Humble yourself. I don't care if they're preaching stuff that you didn't heard for years. I heard all this before. But if that's where God told you to go, you go. And if you're hearing stuff you heard before, that means that you need to hear it again. Oh, my Lord.
Put it into practice.
Now you'll be able to hear it the way God always wanted you to hear it. Now you'll learn what those scriptures really meant. Bless the Lord our God. Pray for us. Pray for me and my wife, Carol. God's told us to go forth with this family prayer room and to speak to this city, to speak to this state, to speak to this nation, to launch forth his word across the world. We're not looking for offerings. We're not trying to raise funds in doing this. We're just doing this in obedience to God. And if this word has touched you and if it has come through to you, then you thank God. You thank him for it. You thank him. Bless the Lord our God. Well, we'll see you guys next week until we're able to join again here in the Urban Life Family Prayer Room. We love you. We're praying for you. God bless you guys. Come on, bless the Lord today. Thank you, Lord.